Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
The Sliwa Show podcast is proudly brought to you by VSLiquor.com. It's rough out there right now. Let's make it a little easier with VSLiquor.com. Just click what you're looking for and it's shipped right to your door. Simple as that. VSLiquor.com. Make sure you type in the code SPORTS when you check out and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com. All right, LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. As always, we'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to tonight's show. Definitely looking forward to tonight's show. Jim Hill coming up at 7. The great Jim Hill, as John Ireland corrected me. Bill Plaschke from the LA Times at 7:30. And RJ Anderson will talk some baseball from CBS Sports at 8:30. Okay, quick rundown. NBA is looking solid. How much have things changed from an NBA perspective over the last couple of weeks? I'm going to read off a couple different – Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe were reporting this together. So I'm going to read a pretty thick paragraph here, a thick sentence, just basically giving some of the details that Woj and Zach Lowe gave earlier today, plus Sham Sharania and Sam Amick of The Athletic talking about the NBA – in one specific location. So I know there was some rumors that it could go to a few different cities. Looks like that's getting narrowed down. First, Woj and Zach Lowe. NBA teams are expecting the league office will issue guidelines around June 1st that will allow franchises to start recalling players who've left their markets as a first step towards a formal ramp up for the season's resumption, sources tell ESPN. The NBA is discussing a step-by-step plan for resumption of the 2019-2020 season that includes an initial two-week recall of players into team marketplaces for a period of quarantine, 1 to 2 weeks of individual workouts at team facilities, and a 2 to 3 week formal training camp, sources told ESPN. Barring any unforeseen turn of events, many NBA owners, executives, and National Basketball Players Association believe Commissioner Adam Silver will green light the return to play in June, with games expected to resume sometime before the end of July, sources said. Okay, so let's go off of that for a quick second. One of the things that Mace said this perfectly when we're doing crosstalk, he said that, you know, this is kind of a lab experiment. And what he's referring to there, and this is going to be the case with all the sports, it's going to be the case with when, if you're working from home right now, when you eventually go back to work, we're all trying to work on this blueprint. Okay, well, what's that going to look like? Whatever the NBA comes up with, whatever the plan, and this is the closest and the most momentum we've ever had for the NBA continuing their season, getting a chance to, you know, finish whatever number of regular season games they have left. And we all know they're not going to play 82 games, but maybe they'll try and get to that 70 game mark, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll just go straight to playoffs. But whatever the concept and the idea is, this is the closest that we've got. Adam Silver has continued to take his time on this, not give out too much information, not give out any false hope. I think he's had a lot of NBA fans. Yes, we're curious. We've got a lot of questions, but he's been one, at least in my opinion, between all the other commissioners, whether in the NHL, NFL, or Major League Baseball, where he's kept quiet. He has answered questions. He has done long, extensive interviews, but he's not doing it all the time, and he's giving out as much information that he has. Well, to get this information today. And hopefully, you know, Adam Silver will have more information for basketball fans out there, sports fans out there, Laker fans that are sitting here in Los Angeles wondering if they can compete for number 17 again this year. But just reading everything that was put out there, and a little bit later in the show, I'll play some of the sound that we have with Jared Dudley. Again, it was very similar to that Zoom call. If you guys remember on Friday, the Lakers made Dwight Howard available to some of the local media, and we're able to obviously grab that interview and that sound and play some of those bites. Same thing with Jared Dudley today. Dudley was incredibly positive about figuring out a way to get this season done. And it wasn't just half glass, half full. he was given examples. He was saying, listen, I have conversations with Chris Paul, who's the head of the Players Association. He has conversations with those that are obviously in the know right now of the momentum that's happening in the NBA. I've never, I guess, over this 2 month quarantine right now, and it's over 2 months at this point. I don't know if I've come on at some times and I haven't been all that positive, and then there's other times I've come on where I'm thinking in my head, okay, we're good. It's going to happen again. Now I have that feeling where it really just, I don't want to say it's just the final details, because that's not the case when you're dealing with, you know, a virus that everybody's still trying to figure it out, and we're going to continue to do that for however long until a vaccine is either some type of a cure is created, or we have it under control to where, okay, we know that there won't be an outbreak, even though this thing is around and there isn't a vaccine to it. But this is the best news that I think you can possibly get if you're a Laker fan and if you're a basketball fan out there. What I think it means is the Lakers could very well get a chance to see if they could finish off the season. I think it means that we might get a chance to watch LeBron James and Anthony Davis compete for number 17. I think it also means that, you know, we're just taking another step in the right direction. So I think the when you put all this together and you look at, okay, well, this could be the closest that we've ever been to getting basketball back from a local perspective. And I'll throw Clippers into this mix as well. You know, of course, I'm sure for Clippers and you know, what fans are here in LA that are also supporting the Clippers, you have two teams that have a chance at winning an NBA championship, and they might both get their opportunity here in the near future. Sham Sharania and Sam Amick on The Athletic. NBA in serious talks to restart season in Orlando. Disney World the front runner. Sources say prospect of players fully training in mid-June and playing by mid-July has been the most popular scenario. So there was some conversation, if you guys remember, on about Las Vegas. There was conversations that there were – I heard today Houston was another, you know, city that was doing what it could to try and host this thing. And I had mentioned – I forget who it was last week, but I – Maybe it was Woj, maybe it was Brian Windhorst. I can't remember off the top of my head, but there were multiple cities trying to figure out if, hey, you're invited. I mean, if we can host you here, the NBA, we'd love to have you. There's obviously a connection, and there's a setup there at Disney World where there's already hotels, there's already restaurants, there's the ability to use gyms. I mean, they have somewhat of an infrastructure that would make sense. Of course, ESPN owned by Disney. We know the unbelievable relationship that ESPN has with the NBA. So I'm sure there's a lot of things that have come into play to figure that, you know, Disney World is going to be the favorite in if a season does come back and we do end up playing. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why that would be in specifically in Disney World. Look, I don't think it's going to be perfect if basketball does come back. 100% mistakes will be made. There's no blueprint. And I wouldn't even say, I don't even know if it's mistakes or you're just trying to figure it out as you go. When I say there isn't a blueprint, nobody has a blueprint. Major League Baseball, we're talking about how the owners and the players are trying to figure out this, how they're going to split the revenue in a reduced schedule down to 82 games and no fans. And, you know, every sport pretty much saying, look, we're going to lose 40% of our revenue simply because we can't have fans at games. Whatever plan they come up with and whatever plan the NBA eventually comes up with, it will change on the fly. It's going to have to. I think that if we look at the league right now, whatever plan that they eventually have, it's not going to be in stone and it can't be. But hopefully we just continue to learn and move forward. When we eventually go back to our jobs, it's not going to be perfect. I think that's going to be something that we're all trying to get accustomed to. When we were talking about restaurants opening up, it's not going to look the way it did. I heard Mason Ireland talking about you know, casinos, when they do open up, what are the poker tables going to look like? You're not going to have 10 people there, are you? Or if you are, what's that going to look like? The exchange of the chips, the exchange of the money. All of this is going to change. And, you know, obviously the NBA and Major League Baseball, they're no different. They're going to be in the exact same position. It's going to change for them as well. And here's another thing. I really don't know what the product is going to look like or how the TV experience is going to be. But when I say this, and I feel like I speak for a lot of fans, do you really care? I mean, you care, but just under the circumstances, I think we're going to accept whatever, you know, sacrifices that either the players make or the leagues play to just make it happen. Sacrifices that everybody has made over the last couple of months, big or small sacrifices, whatever it is, we've all made sacrifices. I think that that TV experience and the product is still, it's a big question mark. And we have no idea what it's going to look like when we eventually do get basketball back. But as long as we just get basketball back, I'm good. And I'm sure there's a ton of fans out there that will take basketball under any circumstances because of the circumstances. Okay, so I mentioned it. I promoted it. Jared Dudley, a little bit earlier today, was on a conference call. We'll hear from Jared Dudley coming back or coming up next. He talks about how confident he is of the season resuming. Talks about the day is like at the practice facility right now. So he gets into a lot of good stuff. We'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right. So we're May 20th right now. If in the next, and Adam Silver had said this, I think a week and a half ago, that they were going to make a decision within the next 2 to 4 weeks was their window to try and figure out, okay, can we make this happen? And I think it's falling right in line here. I mean, if by June 1st, we have some kind of structure that says, what the NBA could look like and what the remainder of the season could look like. I think I have a curiosity of how they would do it. I have a curiosity of how much prep time teams like the Los Angeles Lakers would get before, you know, they get to actually play games again. There's a number that everyone has in their mind. 70 is the number in the NBA where there is local TV revenue. It's an important number. Let's put it that way for the NBA. So I don't know if they would play. Lakers at 60, they were 63 games in. Would the NBA play, you know, 7 more games to get to that number? Which, by the way, does not sound like a bad ramp up number. You know, that doesn't sound like that sounds. If you do a 2 to 3 week training camp prior to that, you do 1 to 2 weeks opening up the training facility and guys are just starting to work out again, and I know the facility is open now, but maybe under a little bit more of a different of a structure. Maybe it's more lenient. It's one thing to play and you're shooting around by yourself. It's another thing when you actually start playing 2-on-2 and 4-on-4 and then eventually play full court. But 7 games sounds like, okay, that's a good amount if you put in the practice, the training camp, and then some games before you get into the playoffs. It feels like the right number to get to make this thing happen. Lakers forward Jared Dudley on a Zoom conference call a little bit earlier today. He talks about, this was actually one of the first questions right out the gate, how confident he is on the season resuming.
Right now, I'm 90% confident of returning. And I mean, to be honest with you, the only reason why I wouldn't say 100% is because you're dealing with the unknown virus that could happen at any moment. You know, they keep talking about the second wave or something unexpectedly. But man, I mean, coming from March when this all went down and we had to get tested and you had the Nets and you're shut down. And then once you took your kids out of school, you were like, basically, man, like, let's not even think about sports. We're thinking about loved ones and thinking about being with family members and the death rates. And you were thinking about New York's in particular. But now we've got more data. We've got more research. LA got more testing for everyone, not just professional athletes from all over. Facilities are starting to open back. So for us, everything's gearing of opening back up. And we always thought June 1st was that date. And, you know, Adam Silver, he might go June 5th or whatever, but everything's heading for us to get back in the facilities and get to start practicing before training camp hits.
Continue to go from Jared Dudley. So what does he expect to happen on June 1st? Here's Jared Dudley.
I'm not expecting full practice. I'm expecting workouts to go and be able to add more people on the court. If you remember before, I think it was like 3 or 4 people you could only have Not just that, I think per coaching. And so I just feel like they'll be able to do more individual group sessions, maybe 3 to 4 people, and then build up. I don't think you're going to go from 0 to 100, especially with the politics have gotten so involved in this basketball returning. But you can't just go from that to a 10 on 10 full court, just your body wise. So I think they'll give us 7 to 10 days of individual works. Then that next 7 days practice, and then you'll get your 2 to 3 week training camp before we head to Orlando or Vegas.
All right. So, you know, using that timeline that we just talked about, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to start thinking too far ahead, but it's naturally to do so. You just start thinking about, all right, well, what would it look like for the Los Angeles Lakers? How are they going to get back on track? What do they have to do to win an NBA championship? That's going to come. But I think structurally what Jared Dudley is saying, and you've heard, I mean, listen, these journalists, the ones that are breaking a lot of this news, a lot of these stories when it comes to the NBA, they have laid out some ideas and some structure. And, you know, obviously that's coming from players, or that's coming from owners, or it's coming from GMs, or it's coming from agents. So we've had a little bit of an idea, and what Jared Dudley is explaining kind of has a little bit of that. In regards to will the regular season resume or go straight to the playoffs, here's Jared Dudley's thoughts.
I've heard 2 or 3 different scenarios. I've heard one scenario that there would be 5 to 7 regular season games, getting people to the 70-game mark at one point in time for some of these local deals, which has been kind of been iffy on that. I've heard that it wouldn't be everyone coming back, maybe a play-in game for that 8th spot where maybe up to the 11th seed. I think there's like 2 or 3 teams. I think Portland, New Orleans, I believe on the other side it might be Washington. Well, basically a play-in game to be able to get 11 to 12 of the teams. And then you guys have guys like Steve Kerr come out and say, hey, they've already mentally checked out. And so, you know what? I get it. There's about 16, about four teams on each conference. We can just have them show up, you know, be the better for the league, just be able to do that. And then we'll send them home and be able to have everyone else play. But I do see that, or straight to playoffs. I think straight to playoffs is just easier. We're on a little time, Christine, when it comes to finishing in September and preparing for the next season and getting the draft in. So I just think going right to playoffs, getting some preseason games and maybe 3 to 4 in Orlando or Vegas, and then getting right to it.
All right, so that's Jared Dudley right there. You know what's interesting? When I hear him say that, and that's not the first time I've heard that idea floated around, of what they would do instead of just saying, okay, it's the top 8 right now, that's who gets in. I don't think they're going to do that. And he had, you know, he mentioned something that he heard. Well, they'll have some kind of tournament for 8 to 11, 8th seed to the 11th seed to determine who gets the final spot. So let's use that as an example right now in the Western Conference. Why is that significant? It's significant because Lakers got the best record in the Western Conference. So if they did this little tournament to determine between Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, and Sacramento, that's 8 through 11. And if you want to throw San Antonio in there, I don't know how they would do that, but San Antonio is a half game behind the Sacramento Kings. That's significant. That's not small news. That means the Lakers could face up, instead of Memphis in the first round, they could play Zion and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Drew Holiday. Or what would be the toughest matchup for the Lakers in the first round is if Portland won this tournament that they do, the 8th seed to the 11th seed, and the Portland Trailblazers, now with probably a healthy Nurkic, a Zach Collins, you know, those were two players. I remember doing the pregame show during the season, and every time we played Portland, Michael Thompson, go out of his way. If they get those two players back, yeah, that's a tough out in the playoffs. And he wasn't just talking about just for the Lakers, but just in general, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, a team that has had some good playoff experience over the last couple of years. But that could be significant for the Lakers. So every time I hear that 8 through 11, I don't stop and just, you know, stop on a dime and say, oh, who cares? That's not a big deal. No, that's who the Lakers would be playing in the first round. Okay, another comment from Jared Dudley on the biggest challenges that he feels like the team would face when they get back.
The legitimate time is 6 weeks. We're not going to have that. I mean, you want me to go into the practice facility, but I can't get the adequate rhythm and timing if I can't even play pickup. most athletes get in shape by playing. It's how it's like a runner telling a runner she can't run outside and be able to get ready for a race. So for us, you need that time for that. And so that's where it's not necessarily who's going to be the best team, it's who's going to be the healthiest team. And that's why the training staff, teams that have the best training staff, is a huge advantage. And so when we get to go from the league and we have, okay, from June 1st to maybe July 10th, and you got your four and a half weeks, how do you ramp up? So training camp, can't do two a days. You can't risk injuries. It's more maybe two or three days on, one day off. Building and getting your muscles prepared to be able to push off, and then maybe that week three, get a hard week three, and then slowly decline before these games. And so you're right, it's going to be difficult. Players haven't really talked about that. I think they're just more interested in getting back in. And once we get back in, it'll be more of the training staff and coaching staff relaying that message, and Braun and AD letting them know how their body feels. And it's going to be a huge total group effort when it comes to that.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things, by the way, Dudley is so polished, and it's so great to just kind of listen to him, because you could ask a simple question and he'll give you such an in-depth answer. Obviously a vet that's been doing in the NBA for a long time, not afraid of the mic, not afraid of the camera. He actually loves it. But it was great to hear him really go into details on a lot of this conversation. So one thing that this could happen, and I don't announce or say it. First of all, I know everybody knows this, but also it's not to be Debbie Downer. It's the reality. What could happen is a player, the caliber of, you know, top 10 in the NBA or top 20 in the NBA, he could test positive for COVID-19. And if that were to happen, okay, what does that mean? That player is then quarantined for 2 weeks, and most likely that team is out. You know, I don't think anybody believes, when you're trying to put on what the NBA is putting on, that nobody's going to test positive. It could very well happen. And if it does, it could have a significant impact on who eventually gets crowned an NBA champion this year. But what are the alternatives? You know, I don't think there really are any other options. Here's Jared Dudley on what would happen if another NBA player tested positive.
I'm not a doctor, but what I've been hearing for the whole time is the 14-day quarantine. And so I don't know if that has changed to 10-day. And you're right. And that's where the big protocol, that's where you're waiting for June 1st. If someone, listen, Adam Silver, I'm not making any of this up. Oh, I heard Adam Silver says, if a COVID-19 test is going to stop this, you know, league from returning, then we shouldn't even start. He knows someone's going to test positive. So you're right. There'll be a protocol for that. It'll be quarantine. I can't see it'll be extra testing, because we're going to get tested before every game. And so that's where the responsibility comes for us. It's sometimes it's out of our realm, in the sense of, hey, we got to stay within the bubble. Let's do this. Let's just stay isolated. It's going to be hard for 2 months, but it's something we have to sacrifice. And I'm not really sure, but I know you will be quarantined for that time. And let's just be honest, man, 2 weeks, that's the playoffs. I mean, you don't have that. And so it'd be a bummer for not only teams, but for fans of Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron, AD, and they can't play in the playoffs. It's just going to be a real stain. And so it's something that the league's have to figure out and relate to us, so we can, you know, keep us safe and keep those tests negative as much as possible.
All right. That's Jared Dudley right there. A little bit later in the show, he had a couple other comments referring to how the Lakers will make up for lack of home court in the playoffs. They worked so hard for that. So we'll worry about that a little bit later in the show. But great stuff from Jared Dudley. And anytime we get these opportunities to hear from the players, I love, and I know most fans do, of course, we want the player perspective. We definitely want to hear what's going on in their mind and what they think and how they see, you know, this NBA season, how it can get done. Okay, the great Jim Hill coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, so we're May 20th right now. If in the next, and Adam Silver had said this, I think a week and a half ago, that they were going to make a decision within the next 2 to 4 weeks was their window to try and figure out, okay, can we make this happen? And I think it's falling right in line here. I mean, if by June 1st we have some kind of structure that says what the NBA could look like and what the remainder of the season could look like, I think I have a curiosity of how they would do it. I have a curiosity of how much prep time teams like the Los Angeles Lakers would get before you know, they get to actually play games again. There's a number that everyone has in their mind. 70 is the number in the NBA where there is local TV revenue. It's an important number. Let's put it that way for the NBA. So I don't know if they would play. Lakers at 60, they were 63 games in. Would the NBA play, you know, 7 more games to get to that number? Which, by the way, does not sound like a bad ramp-up number. You know, that doesn't sound like that sounds if you do a 2 to 3 week training camp. Prior to that, you do 1 to 2 weeks opening up the training facility and guys are just starting to work out again. And I know the facility is open now, but maybe under a little bit more of a different of a structure. Maybe it's more lenient. It's one thing to play and you're shooting around by yourself. It's another thing when you actually start playing 2-on-2 and 4-on-4 and then eventually play full court. But 7 games sounds like, okay, that's a good amount if you put in the practice, the training camp, and then some games before you get into the playoffs. It feels like the right number to get to make this thing happen. Lakers forward Jared Dudley on a Zoom conference call a little bit earlier today, he talks about, this was actually one of the first questions right out the gate, how confident he is on the season resuming.
Right now, I'm 90% confident of returning. And I mean, to be honest with you, the only reason why I wouldn't say 100% is because you're dealing with the unknown virus that could happen at any moment. You know, they keep talking about the second wave or something unexpectedly. But man, I mean, coming from March when this all went down and we had to get tested and you had the Nets and you're shut down. And then once you took your kids out of school, you were like, basically, man, like, let's not even think about sports. We're thinking about loved ones and thinking about being with family members and the death rates, and you were thinking about New York's in particular. But now we've got more data, we've got more research. LA's got more testing for everyone, not just professional athletes from all over. Facilities are starting to open back. So for us, everything's gearing of opening back up. And we always thought June 1st was that date. And, you know, Adam Silver, he might go June 5th or whatever, but everything's heading for us to get back in the facilities and get to start practicing before training camp hits.
Continue to go from Jared Dudley. So what does he expect to happen on June 1st? Here's Jared Dudley.
I'm not expecting full practice. I'm expecting workouts to go and be able to add more people on the court. If you remember before, I think it was like 3 or 4 people you could only have. Not just that, I think per coaching. And so I just feel like they'll be able to do more individual group sessions, maybe 3 to 4 people. And then build up. I don't think you're going to go from 0 to 100, especially with the politics of gotten so involved in this basketball returning. But you can't just go from that to a 10-on-10 full court, just your body wise. So I think they'll give us 7 to 10 days of individual works, then that next 7 days practice, and then you'll get your 2 to 3 week training camp before we head to Orlando or Vegas.
All right. So, you know, using that timeline that we just talked about, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to start thinking too far ahead, but it's naturally to do so. You just start thinking about, all right, well, what would it look like for the Los Angeles Lakers? How are they going to get back on track? What do they have to do to win an NBA championship? That's going to come. But I think structurally what Jared Dudley is saying, and you've heard, I mean, listen, these journalists, the ones that are breaking a lot of this news, a lot of these stories when it comes to the NBA, they have laid out some ideas and some structure. And, you know, obviously that's coming from players or that's coming from owners or it's coming from GMs or it's coming from agents. So we've had a little bit of an idea. And what Jared Dudley is explaining kind of has a little bit of that. In regards to will the regular season resume or go straight to the playoffs? Here's Jared Dudley's thoughts.
I've heard 2 or 3 different scenarios. I've heard one scenario that there would be 5 to 7 regular season games, getting people to the 70-game mark at one point in time for some of these local deals, which has been kind of a bit iffy on that. I've heard that it wouldn't be everyone coming back, maybe a play-in game for that 8th spot where maybe up to the 11th seed. I think there's like 2 or 3 teams, I think Portland, New Orleans, I believe. On the other side, it might be Washington. Well, basically a play-in game to be able to get 11 and 12 of the teams. And then you guys have guys like Steve Kerr come out and say, hey, they've already mentally checked out. And so you know what? I get it. There's about four teams on each conference. We can just have them show up, you know, be the better for the league, just be able to do that, and then we'll send them home and be able to have everyone else play. But I do see that or straight to playoffs. I think straight to playoffs is just easier. We're on a little time, Christine, when it comes to finishing in September and preparing for the next season and getting the draft in. So I just think going right to playoffs, getting some preseason games and maybe 3 to 4 in Orlando or Vegas, and then get right to it.
All right, so that's Jared Dudley right there. You know, it's interesting. When I hear him say that, and that's not the first time I've heard that idea floated around of what they would do instead of just saying, okay, it's the top eight right now. That's who gets in. I don't think they're going to do that. And he had, you know, he mentioned something that he heard. Well, they'll have some kind of tournament for 8 to 11, 8th seed to the 11th seed to determine who gets the final spot. So let's use that as an example right now in the Western Conference. Why is that significant? It's significant because Lakers got the best record in the Western Conference. So if they did this little tournament to determine between Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, and Sacramento, that's 8 through 11. And if you want to throw San Antonio in there, I don't know how they would do that, but San Antonio is a half game behind the Sacramento Kings. That's significant. That's not small news. That means the Lakers could face up, instead of Memphis in the first round, they could play Zion and Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Drew Holiday, or what would be the toughest matchup for the Lakers in the first round is if Portland won this tournament that they do, the 8th seed to the 11th seed, and the Portland Trailblazers, now with probably a healthy Nurkic, a Zach Collins, you know, those were two players. I remember doing the pregame show during the season, and every time we played Portland, Michael Thompson, go out of his way. If they get those two players back, yeah, that's a tough out in the playoffs. And he wasn't just talking about just for the Lakers, but just in general, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, a team that has had some good playoff experience over the last couple of years. But that could be significant for the Lakers. So every time I hear that 8 through 11, I don't stop and just, you know, stop on a dime and say, oh, who cares? That's not a big deal. No, that's who the Lakers would be playing in the first round. Okay, another comment from Jared Dudley on the biggest challenges that he feels like the team would face when they get back.
The legitimate time is 6 weeks. We're not going to have that. I mean, you want me to go into the practice facility, but I can't get the adequate rhythm and timing if I can't even play pickup. Most athletes get in shape by playing. It's like a runner telling a runner she can't run outside and be able to get ready for a race. So for us, you need that time for that. And so that's where it's not necessarily who's going to be the best team, it's who's going to be the healthiest team. And that's why the training staff, teams that have the best training staff, is a huge advantage. And so when we get to go from the league and we have, okay, from June 1st to maybe July 10th, and you got your four and a half weeks, how do you ramp up? So training camp, can't do two-a-days. You can't risk injuries. It's more maybe two or three days on, one day off. Building and getting your muscles prepared to be able to push off, and then maybe that week three, get a hard week three, and then slowly decline before these games. And so you're right, it's going to be difficult. Players haven't really talked about that. I think they're just more interested in getting back in, and once we get back in, it'll be more of the training staff and coaching staff relaying that message, and Bron and AD letting them know how their body feels, and it's going to be a huge total group effort when it comes to that.
Okay, so you know, one of the things, by the way, Dudley is so polished, and it's so great to just kind of listen to him, because you could ask a simple question, and he'll give you such an in-depth answer. Obviously, a vet that's been doing it in the NBA for a long time, not afraid of the mic, not afraid of the camera. He actually loves it, but it was great to hear him really go into details on a lot of this conversation. So one thing that this could happen, and I don't announce it, I don't say it. First of all, I know everybody knows this, but also it's not to be Debbie Downer. It's the reality. What could happen is a player the caliber of, you know, top 10 in the NBA or top 20 in the NBA, he could test positive for COVID-19. And if that were to happen, okay, what does that mean? That player is then quarantined for 2 weeks, and most likely that team is out. You know, I don't think anybody believes when you're trying to put on what the NBA is putting on, that nobody's going to test positive. It could very well happen. And if it does, it could have a significant impact on who eventually gets crowned an NBA champion this year. But what are the alternatives? You know, I don't think there really are any other options. Here's Jared Dudley on what would happen if another NBA player tested positive.
I'm not a doctor, but what I've been hearing for the whole time is the 14-day quarantine. And so I don't know if that has changed to 10-day. And you're right. And that's where the big protocol, that's what you're waiting for June 1st. If someone, listen, Adam Silver, I'm not making any of this up. Oh, I heard Adam Silver says if a COVID-19 test is going to stop this, you know, league from returning, then we shouldn't even start. He knows someone's going to test positive. So you're right. There'll be a protocol for that. There'll be quarantine. I can't see it'll be extra testing because we're going to get tested before every game. And so that's where the responsibility comes for us. It's sometimes it's out of our realm in the sense of, hey, we got to stay within the bubble. Let's do this. Let's just stay isolated. It's going to be hard for 2 months, but it's something we have to sacrifice. And I'm not really sure, but I know you will be quarantined for that time. And let's just be honest, man, 2 weeks, that's the playoffs. I mean, you don't have that. And so it'd be a bummer for not only teams, but for fans of Kawhi, Giannis, LeBron, AD, and they can't play in the playoffs. It's just going to be a real stain. And so it's something that the league's going to have to figure out and relate to us so we can, you know, keep us safe and keep those tests negative as much as possible.
All right, that's Jared Dudley right there. A little bit later in the show, he had a couple other comments referring to how the Lakers will make up for lack of home court in the playoffs. They worked so hard for that. So we'll worry about that a little bit later in the show. But great stuff from Jared Dudley. And anytime we get these opportunities to hear from the players, I love, and I know most fans do, of course, we want the player perspective. We definitely want to hear what's going on through their what's going on in their mind and what they think and how they see, you know, this NBA season, how it can get done. Okay, the great Jim Hill coming up next. Stay right here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, insurance lawyers at the Wallace Firm, understand that your restaurant or retail business has been forced by the government to shut down. Now your insurance is denying your business interruption claim based on a virus exclusion. And the truth is that your losses are from the forced closure, not a virus at your business. Your insurance company may have written your policy, but they don't get to decide the law. With so much on the line, you have the right to let a judge decide if your insurance must pay. It's an incredibly difficult time for everybody out there, specifically business owners as well, who have been affected as hard as anybody. I'm going to leave you guys with a phone number. Brad Wallace and the Wallace Firm, if they can help, they are offering a free policy review to find out if you are owed money for lost profits and operating expenses. I'll give you the phone number. It's 844-844-WINS. 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com. All right, I want to welcome in the great Jim Hill onto the Sliwa Show. Jim, how are you doing?
Alan, how are you, partner?
I'm doing okay. It's great to hear from you. Tell me, how are things going for you in a time where I know what you're accustomed to on a day-to-day basis is sports thriving in Los Angeles. So how have you been doing without sports?
Well, we've gone from, first of all, we missed the actual games and the competition and the interviews, pre-game interviews and post-game interviews and showing highlights and things like that. What we're doing a lot of now, obviously, is covering, the NBA, the NHL, pro football and hockey, and talk about what's the latest, what are the commissioners talking about, when do we think the seasons will resume, who will be able to go. Obviously, right now, they're talking about not playing with fans, which is going to cost the NFL like $5.5 billion,
right?
Because that's
right.
Make a lot of money. The Cowboys are at the top of that list. And there are other human stories out there, like for instance with this past people going to go to the Olympics. We had a lot of kids from the area that were supposed to try out for the Olympics, and now that dream is gone until next time. And for some, this will be the only time they would ever have to make an Olympic team. So we're finding out that there are a lot of stories, a lot of sports stories that are out there. One of the other things, Alan, is all of our, and this is why I say we are the sports capital of the world. Every organization has its athletes helping people in the community. And that's just absolutely wonderful because, I don't know, you've probably heard me say it before. One of my favorite sayings is by Dr. King, and that is giving back to your fellow mankind is one of the most noble things that anyone can do. And what could be more noble right now in what we're going through than helping people in our community that are less fortunate than we, especially with our athletes that are out there. So there are stories like what the athletes are doing. There's no shortage of stories. There's just a shortage of highlights, post-game interviews, feature stories like that.
The great Jim Hill joining the Sliwa Show. You know, Jim, I love that you, by the way, that you highlight all that stuff because I do think there are many times where we're doing shows. I'll talk just me specifically. I'm doing shows every night, Monday through Friday. And you're right. We get caught up in the, man, when are we going to get our sports back? And we're watching our reruns and we're in the middle of talking about The Last Dance and everything else. When you say it's time like this where it's an incredible opportunity to try and help, obviously, those who are less fortunate or just everybody's in a unique predicament. Nobody obviously thought 6 months ago we'd be sitting in the situation that we are. And if now's not a time to try and, do some good, then when is the right time?
Oh, there's no question about that. And, you know, normally people go to sporting events because they know for 2 hours or 2.5 hours, they can forget about, their troubles. Well, now you can't forget about that because of the severity of what we're facing. And there are no sporting events. I mean, there's some that are starting now, like this past weekend. A lot of people were watching golf and things like that. But we have learned of how important sports is to the psyche of our community. And our athletes, both men and women, are taking their responsibilities and giving back to the community very, very serious. I think when this is, and we're going to get through this. We're going to keep the faith, and we're going to get through this. And when we do, I think we're going to be more understanding, more loving, more giving, and more forgiving, because we is, and will continue to teach us an awful lot about, taking things for granted, like in the United States. United States, we're in America. Most people have only been here and not any place else where it's really, really rough living. Now we're finding out some things that we never thought we would. So we're going to be more aware of things and more loving. And, sometimes you have to be slapped in the face to say, whoa, wait a minute, just slow down now. Just realize how good you have it. And that may be one of the things from this, but we're going to get through it. We're too strong of a city, a state, a United States. We're too strong a country. We're too strong of a world not to combat this and be better for it.
Jim Hill joining the Sliwa Show. Jim, so I'll turn my attention on the sports side of things for a quick second here. I saw some incredibly positive news for the NBA earlier today. Adrian Wojnarowski and Zach Lowe, reporting for ESPN that there's some kind of a plan in place here, and nothing's in stone, but they're getting closer. Do you feel more confident, today than a couple weeks ago that you might be getting Los Angeles Lakers basketball, the Los Angeles Clippers as well, and maybe even potentially from a baseball perspective, the Los Angeles Dodgers in potentially the near future?
Well, I think the best way to answer that will be the virus will tell us when we can do those things. Mm-hmm. If we keep doing what we are supposed to do, and that is, just the simple things like washing your hands and keeping a certain distance between you and someone else and things like that, the virus will tell us, and there are certain parts of the city that are doing it. There's certain parts of the city that can do a better job, just like there's certain parts of the United States that are opening up more so than certain parts of California right now. But we're going to get through this thing. And that's why I tell everybody, you know, just keep the faith. You keep the faith, you know, mm-hmm. we'll get through this and we'll learn a lot from this and come out on the other end a heck of a lot better off. But as far as the sports is concerned, the virus will tell us. And, you know, there are a lot of guys who want to come back and play, but they want to be healthy. They want to make sure it's safe, not only safe for them, but safe for the spectators to come back. And I know that's the way that all the athletes feel in our area. You can just start with the Lakers. I know LeBron feels that way and everyone in the Laker organization, but they want to be safe. But we're inching closer to that. It's almost like if you go to a doctor will always give you the long term. He won't give mm-hmm. you the short term prognosis. He'll give you the long term prognosis so that hopefully whatever the injury is will heal in that particular time. So that's, I'm kind of thinking, keeping my fingers crossed, because to me, the glass is always half full, not half empty.
Jim, you know, this actually is, I think, a perfect question for you specifically. You've been at so many sporting events, and you've covered so many different, obviously, sporting events, specifically here locally in Los Angeles. Have you thought about games going on, a playoff run, like you mentioned, if the green light comes and, you know, the virus is basically telling us and the data is telling us that, okay, it's okay to resume sports, but still no fans. Have you thought about what that experience would be like? I mean, from you personally, I don't think there's ever a game or a practice that you don't go to for all the sports and for all the teams. How weird would that be for you that you're not there, but you're still going to obviously be covering a lot of these games?
It will be what's best for the teams, what's best for our fans in general, and it would be what's best for us health-wise. See, mm-hmm. sometimes, you know, we need to put aside our own personal thoughts and behavior for the betterment of mankind. Mm-hmm. And if we are not supposed to, we're not allowed to go to games, that's the way it has to be. Sooner or later, you know, it will get a little better where, you know, you'll see some fans and then you'll start to see the media coming in. But we have in the media group that's here in the LA area, they are very smart, they're very sophisticated, they're very savvy, they're just very into everything, and they understand, and we all understand, that what's best for us as mankind, and there will not be a stone unturned so that we can get the best coverage possible after a game. I know that what could happen is, let's say the Lakers are playing, and after a game they take LeBron into like where a media room is, mm-hmm. and maybe there's a Laker person that's asking them to talk about the game, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and things like that, and they respond for 5 or 10 minutes and get it from two or three players. Mm-hmm. That is a possibility that can happen. The possibility of the media in locker rooms after a game in a crowded locker room where there's a lot of pushing and people are so close to each other, those things may be a while, if ever, coming back, mm-hmm. because you don't want to take any chance because there's a lot of rubbing and brushing up against each other, you know, in there because the locker rooms are so small. So we're going to have to adjust, and that's just part of living. But you can be sure that those of us who love our job, like you, like myself, like John, like a lot of us, we're going to keep doing a lot of things and just keep active and stay busy all the time.
The great Jim Hill joining the Sliwa Show. Jim, you mentioned something right from the beginning that, you know, we have just probably just going through this quarantine and adjusting our life under the circumstances, that we all have a different appreciation for even the small things. What are some of the things that stand out to you just personally in your life where you have, kind of gone through, like you mentioned, everybody else is going through, but what are stuff that you're appreciating more today that maybe you took for granted before? Because I think we can all, at least for me, I know there are definitely things that I took for granted that I'm going to try to not take for granted moving forward under these circumstances.
just going to games, going and talking to the parking lot attendants, talking to the security people, saying hi, you know, telling stories, sitting and talking with people, you know, that I'm so proud to be, you know, in their profession, the journalists, the fine journalists that we have in this city. Because sometimes we've been doing it for a while. We've never had anything like this that can just stop us in our tracks. So I'm not saying we take it for granted, but it has become the norm. Now we're going to have a new norm, and it's things like that. Another thing that has made me realize a little more is that, you know, giving back, man. We need to really help a lot of people. I mean, when you're driving down the freeway and you get off the freeway and you turn under and you go under the freeway and you see a lot of homeless people, and you know, and you think there's a song that says it could have been me. So now you really think that really could have been you. When you see people like that and you realize just how fortunate, lucky, and blessed, how blessed we are. So, the things that I have been thinking about all along are magnified now. Just saying, you know, saying please and thank you and thanking people for even more so that you work with and work for, because it's not what we have been going through. It has been something that a lot of people around the world have not been going through. And that's why people around the world look to us in such high esteem, because they see some of the liberties and the pleasures and the freedoms that we have. And that's why a lot of people from all over the world want to come to the United States. And when they get to the United States, they got to come to L.A. So it just magnifies and make it even larger that you believe even more so now and keeping the faith and trying to work as hard as you can, get up early, go to bed late, and work like hell in between, as I say.
Jim, do you ever, I don't know, have you found yourself over the last couple of months just kind of sitting back and saying, dang, what a crazy time, right? Like, just we've had things that can happen from a world perspective, but nothing like this in our lifetime. And I know, obviously, you're much older and wiser than I am and than I ever will be.
I don't know about wiser.
I know wiser. But Jim, do you catch yourself sometimes just kind of sitting back and trying to soak everything in? Like, what just happened? You know, and we don't know what the new norm is going to be, and we don't know what tomorrow will hold. And I'm obviously, like you mentioned, you try to be optimistic about certain things. I talk about, oh my gosh, maybe there will be a future in basketball and Major League Baseball coming. But putting all that to the side, do you sit there sometimes just kind of reflect and say, wow, what a interesting time in the world's history?
Yes, it is. But a lot of times, with me, when things like this started to happen, I start to think of others first. I start to think of doing my job so I can help. I can help to bring some information, hopefully some peace, some hope, to those that tune us in or listen to us on radio and TV, because, when you do what we do and what you do, and there's a lot of people that listen to you every day, just a lot, they live on your every word. And so we have to be, and that's the trust factor. It takes a long time to earn someone's trust, but you can lose it very fast. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that, and like everyone at Channel 2 and Channel 9, we all want to make sure that we earn your trust by being there for you, by giving you the information and not trying to make you feel sorry or think about what we're going through, because our viewers and listeners and readers have their own issues to go through. So our job is to inform and to educate and to try to help people get through these rough times that we're going through. That's your job, and you got to be dedicated to that craft. And there are some wonderful, wonderful journalists in this area, radio and TV, who were all trying to just do our job to try and help people to understand, give people information so they can not only get through this, but find a cure for it. But, you know, Alan, just make it from night to night. Try and get a good night's rest. Mm. There are a lot of people who can't sleep at night peacefully because they don't know what's going on the next day. And if we can be creative and be informative in what we do and let them know that there is a light at the end of that doggone tunnel. Now, it's a long tunnel, that's for sure. But there's a dim ray of hope down at the end of that tunnel. And if we just keep doing what we're doing, and we've got great leadership, in this city and in this state, you know, the governor's doing wonderful. The mayor's doing terrific. And they know with the vast knowledge of information that they get from all stages, what's best for us. So we have to do our job. I mean, when it's like you, when you go on the air, you're paid to do your job. Not go on the air and talk about, you know, the issues that you had that day or the issues that I have that day, because the people listening and watching have their own problems. They have their own issues. It's like my guy in Pacoima theory. The guy in Pacoima doesn't care. When he tunes in, he's had his own rough day. He's looking for some information. He's looking for some guidance. He's looking for something that's going to make him feel good about what's going to happen tomorrow. And it's our job as journalists, radio, TV, newspaper, to do just that. And in this city, I'm proud to say that the people in those categories are doing just that.
Jim, you know how much I appreciate your time. So I can't thank you enough for joining the show. And of course, I mean, it's a wonderful conversation. It's wonderful insight. And I appreciate you doing this.
Well, Alan, my pleasure. Like we said, let's just keep the faith.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
It's something that's hard to describe, but you know it when you see it, and you know it when you feel it. Mm. And if we just keep that faith, it's going to take a little while. We're going to be all right, but let's just keep the faith, everybody, and look out for each other. And like Dr. King says, giving back to your fellow mankind is one of the most noble things that anyone can do. And that's what you're doing right now by spreading the word when you go on the air. And I congratulate you and everyone there at the station. And I really enjoy listening to you all the time, as well as, you know, the guys during the early part of the day.
Well, Jim, we appreciate it as well. Thank you. Okay.
Okay, partner. Take care.
Thank all right, you. Jim. Stay safe. And thank you for doing this. All right.
You too. Okay. Anytime.
All right. All right. That's the great Jim Hill right there. What a man. I could listen to him and his wisdom all day long. Fantastic stuff there from Jim Hill. When we come back, I want to I'll get into this, you know, conversation. And I know this was popular today. Paul Pierce talking about LeBron James. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.